Welcome to Hunting the Way. My name is Scott Whatley, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Hunting the Way is a ministry of our Sportsman of Colorado show, heard every Saturday from 1 to 2 p.m. on our sister station, KLZ 560. If this is the first time you've been able to listen to us, thank you for tuning us in today. Again, we are here every Sunday. And Hunting the Way really is just a show about life, not really about hunting. So that's our other show, but really just kind of the issues of life that we deal with as Christians and different things that we struggle with. And so I try to have on different speakers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, sometimes just normal everyday laymen, just to come in and talk about different things. And so be sure, before we get to our guests, be sure and visit our website, huntingtheway.com. All of our past shows are there. If you have any questions about the show or comments, I certainly welcome those. You can email me, scott@huntingtheway.com. Well, our friend today is Brother Dave Disney, again, our missionary to Chile from our church at First Baptist Church of Inglewood. And Brother Dave has been with us before. So, Brother Dave, thanks for being with us again.
Thank you. Good to be here again, Scott.
Today's subject is something I think a lot of people struggle with, and it's just simply this subject, God's will. You know, what is it? How do you find it? How do you know you're in it? And most of us know when we're out of it, but how do you know, you know, what that's all about? So have you ever wondered what God's will is for your life? Have you needed to make a difficult decision, wondered what God wanted you to do in that situation? That's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. And also how Brother Dave, you know, found God's will for his life as a missionary. And we're going to talk about that call to become a missionary and things like that. So first of all, Brother Dave, let's just talk a little bit in your own definition of life now. What is really the term God's will? What should that mean to us as a Christian?
That's a deep and a broad subject. I would say that it's God's desire for us. And, of course, he shows us his desire in his word. That would be our first source, sure, to know his desire, his will for us. And I believe he does have a plan for each of us. In Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so he tells us that we can know his will. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a situation or a phrase also that we can use for every decision of our lives. We have big decisions, we have small decisions, but if we're walking in Christ, that would be one of the standards for being to know his will, to be in his will, then I believe that we can make the right decisions. And I think that's what it all boils down to know his plan for our lives is to make wise and correct decisions in our lives.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I think we may have talked about this on another show. We talked about making godly decisions, and something that I think we all need to just realize, and most of us that are a little older now look back and we certainly realize that none of our decisions affect only us.
Oh, that's for sure. Oh, that's for sure.
We look back as growing up, being a young parent, whatever the case may be, or, you know, in just life. And so it is something, and, you know, I guess probably back up just a little bit and say this, you know, knowing Christ as your personal Savior, and that means accepting him as your Lord and Savior, certainly confessing that you're a sinner and that Christ died for you and know that he saved you. I mean, that's really the start. You got to know that for sure. And so, again, our subject is about the will of God. And so, you know, it's easy for us, I guess, Brother Dave, just to sit and pray, hey, Lord, you know, I want to do your will. But, I mean, what does all that look like? I mean, cause it's easy to say that. And then, you know, sometimes we've all seen and, you know, open doors that we feel like, hey, we prayed for something and that door opens. But that doesn't necessarily mean a door we should walk through either.
True. That's true. Well, there's that aspect of God's will. You know, you mentioned earlier, some people are looking for his will and they haven't even made the first choice.
Right.
That, of course, salvation is his will. He's not willing that any should perish, that all come to repentance. Then in also in 1 Timothy 2, 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so our first step into knowing God's will is being in his will with salvation. He sent his son to die for us, and that death was for a purpose. and he rose from the grave, and when we receive him as our personal Savior, well, that's stepping into the first basic tenet of what his will is for us.
Sure.
Then he has a plan for us also that he, of course, part and parcel to his will is that we are in step with him. He's died for us that we might live for him. And in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, of course, we have the famous statement, doctrinal statement of Paul when he tells us, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so it's only reasonable mm-hmm. that we serve him if he has saved us.
Sure.
Now, we also, when we receive Christ as our Savior, part and parcel to that is he's our Lord, and so he's my master. And so what I want to do is get in the position that I am in obedience to what he wants me to do. And I can only do that by listening to him. Now, he's not like the Apostle Paul. He's not going to visit me on the road to Damascus in that matter and blind me and then have me go on and he'll speak to me another way that I might know his will. He speaks to us now in his revealed word.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're walking in his word, I believe that we are on the first steps after salvation of knowing what his will is for us. He has a plan for us.
Sure.
As we mentioned there in Ephesians, we can know his will. We can know his plan in every aspect of our life and the decision that we make. And so I believe it comes down to a matter of making wise decisions. We're not going to make all the right decisions. Mm-hmm. And everybody in the Bible is an example for us to show us that all people didn't make the right decisions. Some people ran from God's will, like Jonah.
Sure.
Jonah ran from what God wanted him to do, and he suffered the consequences of it. But God put him back on track, and he still didn't want to do it. But God got him on track to do that. And throughout the Bible, we see people that God used in great ways that in their whole life, they didn't make the right choices, the right decisions. David, a great example.
Right.
From the beginning of his life, we see him serving God. We see him killing Goliath, and we know that even Saul and his great armies wouldn't even go out and confront Goliath, but David went out and do it. He knew it was God's will,
mm-hmm.
and he knew that God was able. But then later in his life, we saw that he made some poor choices, wrong choices, and he suffered for those. Yet God wasn't through with David. He still had a plan for his life. Same with Elijah. Elijah's a great prophet of God. He was on Mount Carmel and that great demonstration of God's power with Elijah, with the fire of God coming down and consuming the sacrifice. And then right after that, after he killed all the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves, he was running for his life. And I'm wondering, and the readers wonder in the Bible, if he was trusting God for the fire from on high and then defeating the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, why is he running from wicked Jezebel and Ahab? And then we find him on another mountain and sitting and wishing that God would kill him. But God wasn't done with him. God wasn't through with him. And so then he sent the wind and fire and earthquake and the broke rocks. And you'd think, well, God's going to speak to me through this. But he didn't. He maybe got his attention,
mm-hmm.
but then God spoke to him through a still, small voice. And I think, Scott, sometimes we're looking for the wind, the fire, and the earthquakes. Now, I've been in a few earthquakes, and I know that circumstances like that, you see God speaking also. But he spoke to Elijah, and I think a good principle for us is that still, small voice, and we need to be in contact with him, be in touch with God. And that comes through studying God's word.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us, Psalm 119:105, that the word, it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. And that lamp in the Old Testament term is, you can't see more than a few feet outside of that lamp light in the darkness. And so many times we don't see, what the big boom light is. It's going down 5, 10, 20 years from now. But we can see out a few feet because that's trusting God. Trusting God. And so those small decisions we think are small, he'll give us those decisions as we trust him daily with that lamp that's lighting our path, lighting our way.
Right. And by the way, you're listening to Hunting the Way. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Whatley. My guest today, pastor and missionary, Dave Disney. Brother Dave's out of our church, First Baptist Church of Inglewood, and he's in Chile. And just talking on the topic today about the will of God. And, you know, you brought up something there because I think there's a lot of people out there that are have just accepted a defeated life because, you know, at one time they were serving the Lord and maybe some event came in their life, they messed up, and whether they thought they were mistreated badly by people at church and friends, they just got out of church, they don't go anymore. So, you know, just know this, making a poor decision doesn't mean we're forever out of God's will or that God, you know, can't still use you. Like you said, there's consequences. I've received them in my life. I mean, I made some decisions years ago that have cost me, you know, and but God can still use you.
We all have.
Yeah.
That's that's the greatness of God. Mm-hmm. He will still use you. We're like a diamond in the rough, and the diamond may be big and brilliant, and we may chip off a piece because we messed up, but he's still going to be grinding on us and still smoothing us out, and we're still going to shine for him. We just need to be willing and submissive and obedient.
Right, absolutely. So let's look back at your life a little bit now. And again, you were raised in a Christian home. I'll let you give, for those that maybe didn't catch our first show with you, a little bit of your own personal testimony. But so you can talk a little bit about that and then take a minute and just tell us how you know, you found God's will for your life. I mean, you've been doing this a long time. So, boy, no doubt in our mind either, you're in the center of God's will where you are. So just tell a little bit about you and then how you went about just finding God's will for your life as a missionary.
Well, I grew up there at the First Baptist Church of Englewood. We mentioned that before. And of course, I received Christ at an early age. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents taught me the Bible and taught me the importance of knowing Christ as my Savior. So early in life, I received Christ as my Savior and always wanted to serve Him. Like I said, I believe from the onset that that's part and parcel to being a Christian, that you want to serve Him because I want my life to be a living sacrifice for Him, not a dead sacrifice or a bad sacrifice, but to live for Him. And so I sought opportunities in the church as I was growing up to serve Him. And of course, as a child, you're just obedient. You're obedient to your parents. You're obedient to your teachers. And I'm not saying I was obedient all the time. I have had the discipline and the spankings to remind me of that. But my folks were good Christian parents. They're disciplinaries. One important thing I remember in my parents' lives, when we were just little kids, after I'd received Christ as my Savior, they went forward in a church service, and they dedicated their lives to serving Him and bringing up their family in the ways of the Lord. You know, they grew up in the church also.
Right.
But they took my sister and myself, my brother wasn't born yet, took us by the hands, walked us down to the altar, and prayed together with us. And that made a huge impression upon my life, that they would do that with their family. We're going to raise our family in the ways of the Lord. And taking from Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we served the Lord. We came out, you know, when church doors are open, we came out to all the services. They still do. My dad's 84. My mom's 84. They're there every time the church doors are open, still serving the Lord. And that left a great impression upon me. And so I looked for opportunities to serve when I could. I worked in the bus ministry, going picking up children and, on the buses and visiting kids on the bus. When I was old enough to teach a Sunday school class, they gave me a Sunday school class teaching children. Then my wife and I, we took over the junior church. We taught the junior church, and then a little bit older, and I started Bible school. I taught in the young adults class and taught young marrieds class, and then began to preach from time to time. And then those steps just led me to, I believe, that a desire that God put in my heart. Every time a missionary had come to our church, even when I was younger, and showed their missionary slides, I was touched by that, and I knew that God was dealing to me in a special way. And perhaps He was calling me. I didn't know that, and I didn't want to step out, just call myself into missions. But my wife and I, we took several weeks, well, actually, probably a couple of years, and we prayed this prayer, Lord, make my path a plain path, from Proverbs. And we wanted to do God's will. I had a good job. My wife had a good job. We were working in the church already. Like I said, we were working the bus ministry. We had, at that time, the young marriage class and teaching and preaching. But we wanted him to make a plain path for us. And I just couldn't get missions off of my heart and out of my mind. And so with that, a missionary came to our church, and the church decided to send us on a missions trip. Peggy and I went to Chile, South America. We thought that God might have been calling us to China at the time, but our visit to Chile, we were there for a month. We visited a missionary. We stayed with him, and we visited different places there. And God just kept burdening our heart for the Chilean people. And we came back, and on the airplane, we didn't discuss our call to go to Chile while we were down there, but on the plane coming back from Chile, we looked at each other and we said, God is taking us to that place. I think I mentioned it before, I missed our call to China by, we got the first three letters were right, C-H-I, and we got to Chile. And God is blessed. We've seen him pour out his blessings upon that work there. But I think it takes just a willing servant. Mm-hmm. It's not great things that we've done, because I can't say that my background is so great that we're a great servant of God, just to be where God wants you to be. And like I said, even that was a lamp unto my feet. I just saw a few feet ahead of where I was walking, and he developed it. And we also prayed the prayers in Psalm 37 that he would give us the desires of our heart. And that became a desire. And I wanted to make sure that was God's desire. And so we were down at the altar almost every Sunday night or Sunday morning. We were at the altar praying together. God, may this be your desire, not us just stepping out on our own, because we don't want to go out there and come back because we just did it because we were touched emotionally. Mm-hmm. But we want to make this a sure thing, that it's a spiritual decision we're making because you're guiding us. And Scott, since we got there, people have asked us, well, when you come back, you mentioned we've been there 33 years. And we've always said, well, God is going to have to make it just as clear for us to come back that he did for us to go to Chile. And we made that a clear. We've had some trouble down there. We've had some challenges, as all missionaries do, as everybody does in Christian service. But we knew that God called us there. That's why we never left. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're still there. And that's why we'll stay there until he makes it clear for us to come back. And so I believe it's walking with God, being in line with his will, and walking in his word.
Right. What do you say to someone that says, I grew up in church, I know I'm saved. I felt like I had a call at one point. Maybe it's to be a pastor or a missionary, but I didn't listen. It's 20 years later. I know I missed God's call. What now?
I've heard that. I have heard that in my own church in Chile, and also here a very dear, dear saint of God that was actually a good mentor to me in our church at First Baptist, and he told me that. I didn't know that for several years when I knew him, and he came to me after we had surrendered our lives to missions to go to the mission field. He said, Dave, follow God's call. He said, I missed that call in my life many, many years ago. Now, I didn't know that,
right?
Because he was a servant of God.
Sure.
And he had also pastored churches here in the States. And but he, in his mind, he felt that he missed God's call to the mission field. And yet his testimony after the fact, I saw God used him. Mm-hmm. You see, even though he felt that he missed God's call to the mission field, or that first urging of the Spirit in his life, and several years later, because he missed that, not because he that God was hiding it from him, he just didn't want to do it.
Right.
And so he went another direction. But he always had that burden in his heart that he didn't do that, which he felt at the first of his calling that God had directed him to do. And yet, I saw it from another perspective. God used him in a great way.
Sure.
Because he was willing to keep following him, and he got back on track, even though he felt that he missed God's calling in this area. It's not so much, Scott, that I believe the geographical location. It's the person that God calls. Mm-hmm. And we just need to be willing to keep on. And if we've missed that door, he'll give us another door.
Sure.
And go through that door of opportunity that he gives us to do and to go. And so that was a good example for me,
wow.
A life example. And I've seen that in my own churches there in Chile, South America. We sent out a young couple to two young men to start a church in an area in southern Chile. And they left that area after they'd started to work. They started it in a garage. They didn't have enough finances to do any more, to just start it in a garage. But they worked the streets. They went door knocking. They preached on the streets. They did soul winning, won people to the Lord, discipled people there for about 4 years. And they just they left. But what they left was a work that was established. And another man came in, took over what they had started. They felt defeated. They felt like they had gone and they just wasted four years of their lives. Well, one man went back. He finished up university. Now he's now an engineer. He's building boats, and he's doing a great work in their local church there, the church we started in Concepcion. The other man came back, finished trade school. He's also working in that church, has a Sunday school class,
wow.
Doing great, both of them, great work. And I take them back, and you know, I tell them, you know, this was not a failure your part. Maybe we don't know for sure on this side of heaven, mm-hmm. if it was a wrong decision, emotional decision for you to go down there and start that. But there's a church going down there. I just built a building down there 2 years ago. We dedicated this last December of a building in that property where they started the work. Now, that might not have been there if they hadn't have gone down there and done the soul winning and done that sacrificing for those 4 years, that living, they were sleeping in a garage, on a bunk bed in a garage.
Sure.
And but there's a Bible-believing Baptist church, strong church going there now. And one of the man who's the pastor there, they led to the Lord and discipled. And so we see that God's will is a lot bigger than maybe our focus is, that our vision is, that even in the circumstances that we feel are maybe a failure on our part, God takes that and turns it into a victory. They were willing, may have misinterpreted God's call. Somebody else may have gone down there and maybe had better resources to do that, but they did. And then somebody built upon that, and then somebody else built upon that, and a young teenager they led to the Lord is the pastor of that church now.
Wow.
So, yes, we can miss some of the doors of opportunity, but don't let that be a reason to say, well, God is finished with me.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. Those two young men, this engineer, he has me over to his house now. He has me over to eat. And he's bought a piece of property. They built a camp property for their church. He's doing great things for God now. But that experience was terrific for him, just fantastic. They didn't see it at that time, and they didn't see it for several years after that. But look down there. Look at that church that's there now, and look at what you're doing now. You didn't abandon the Lord. He certainly never abandoned you.
Right. Absolutely. So now, what would you say to someone that may be listening, and maybe they recently accepted Christ as their Savior, and you know they're really trying to find, you know, what God has in store for them? What would be the beginning steps to say to someone, you know, they say, "Hey, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, but I don't even know how to go about it. I'm just now learning how to pray, even, you know, whatever."
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So what are some initial steps that you would give someone just to, you know, say, "Hey, you want to be willing? All right,
good.
Here's what you do."
Well, that is the first step,
yeah.
Willingness. Of course, they're saved, so that's the first step into doing God's will. You need to be surrendered, you know, giving your body a living sacrifice, as we mentioned earlier, a surrendered life. God's call, God is still calling, and I believe he calls all of us. We're all called to be doing something. We're all called to be doing some service for him. But I believe that many of us, it's not that God isn't calling, it's that we're not listening, or we're out of tune. You know, we're on a radio program right now. There's going to be people that get too far out the distance. They're not going to be able to hear the radio program.
Right.
And I was listening to you when Peggy and I were driving out of town, out of state, one Sunday, and we lost the contact,
mm-hmm.
because I was too far. Well, God is still talking, but we need to be listening.
Great example.
And so I would say the first step we need to have is to be close to God, walk with God, and be in His Word. First of all, we need to be surrendered. We need to be willing to do what God wants us to do, and then be in His Word. Mm-hmm. He speaks to us now through His Word, and He will give us the desire that becomes the desire of our heart as we're walking through His Word. And so I would say that your salvation, then your surrender. We need to be sanctified, of course, set apart. We need to tell God, God, I'm willing to go. And He calls us to holiness. And if we're not walking a holy life, He's not going to be speaking to us, to tell us, to direct us, to guide us. A boat that's in the water will only go if you put the sail up. And then you have to have that the rudder that steers us. Well, that rudder is God's Word, and that steers us. And that wind is God's Spirit that pushes us. Now, I take it as we're walking in the Spirit and reading God's Word, He will push us and direct us in the direction He wants us to go. So I'd say separation, our surrender to Him, studying God's Word, and, of course, prayer.
Right.
Ask of God. Like James says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. And He wants to give us that Word.
Sure.
He wants to talk to us. And it's not in a audible voice, but He speaks to us through the desires He gives us in our heart.
Right. And boy, our time's just about up, but I want to get this one point, and then we'll get about 30 seconds left. But the door that God opens will never contradict His Word.
Exactly.
Sometimes you've seen it, I've seen it, where people say, oh, I believe God's leading me here, but you know that's not right. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
yes.
It's contradicting His Word. So that's one thing you can rest assured when you're really trying to pray for God's will or whatever. If some opportunity is there and it goes against what the Bible says, that's not God.
Well, that's why we need to be in His Word.
Right.
In fact, I had a friend that before I went to the mission field, he felt God's leadership, and he thought he was called to be a pastor, but he didn't qualify as Titus and Timothy for the qualifications of being a pastor. But he's a great, one of the best soul winners that I've ever known in my life. And yet he wasn't qualified to be a pastor. And so he took a step back and realized that, well, God is directing me because I cannot violate what God's Word says in my life,
right.
For my life. And yes, you're right. God's Word will direct us, and His will never be in contrast to what His Word is.
Absolutely. Brother Dave, thank you so much, my friend.
That's my pleasure.
Dave
thank
Disney,
you,
our missionary in Chile. Again, we'd love to have you visit our church. That's not what the intention of this show is about, but we want to make sure you have that invitation. That's First Baptist Church of Inglewood. Thank you for joining us today for Hunting the Way. Again, check out our website, huntingtheway.com. All of our past shows are there. For any comments or questions, you can email me, scott@huntingtheway.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and make it a great day. And remember, God's way is the best way.